That'll get you going. If we didn't already get you going in the 7 o'clock hour, had a lot of fun this morning at 7 o'clock. Well, we've got Mr. Harper here joining us at the 8 o'clock hour here in the backyard. Hey, John!
I'm here. I'm coming.
Good morning, man. Another beautiful morning. We've gotten a little bit of the rain. If you've got a landscape, a gardening, fertilizing, mowing, trimming, hedging question, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. Anything having to do with the landscape and or hardscape on your property, at your house, John Jay here is here to answer your question. He loves this hour because he gets to talk about it. He gets to tell you about it. He gets to use his head and his mouth and not break one bead of sweat while you do all the work. Give him a call, 1-888-767-4348. We'll be talking about prepping for winter gardens. Gotta love that topic.
It's getting close. I mean, I don't know if you probably noticed because you're an early riser, but it's dark.
Yeah, man.
When we get up.
Yes,
now.
It is.
Days are getting shorter. Won't be long till we start noticing the angle of the sun's a little different, and fall garden will be here before you know it. So you got to start getting ready.
Yeah.
You know, when we mean getting ready, we start, you know, kind of take a look at the garden. Now there's probably some stuff in there that hasn't done much in the last couple, 3 weeks. We start pulling out some of the old stuff, turning the soil, getting rid of the weeds.
Easy time to do that right now, right?
Good time with soil moisture.
Soil.
Yep. Absolutely. Get some organic matter back in there, some good compost, some chicken manure, something like that, and just kind of start tilling that soil. Take the next couple, 3 weeks and, you know, a little here, a little there, then it isn't such a big deal. Plus the fact that you don't wake up one morning and go, oh, man, I'm late getting my garden in.
Yeah, and that'll happen quick, too.
Time goes fast. So start plugging away at it a little bit, and you'll be ready to go. About Labor Day weekend, we can really kick in with a lot of stuff to be planted. There's some things you can sneak in now, but, you know, I usually kind of shoot for Labor Day weekend, and if you're ready to go by then, you're going to be in good shape.
All right, getting ready for the winter garden. Did you hear any of the 7 o'clock hour?
Absolutely. Loved it. And in fact, kind of ironically, he mentioned a guy named Ted Newman.
Yes.
Ted's still around. Ted's an old family friend. He used to play at the other place there on Lincoln for years. We had Ted do a little jingle for Harper's Nursery at one time. So
really?
Yeah, he's a big fan of us, and we are of him. So I believe Ted's probably in Colorado. Usually goes to Colorado for the summers and entertains for the tourists in Colorado.
What a hoot. Ted Newman.
Yeah.
At the other place. Now, I miss the other place. I miss a good prime rib.
I've been heartbroken for about 7, 8 years, 10 years, however long.
I miss the prime rib at the other place and the
ham bun.
Mag's Mag's
with apple pie and
the hot apple pie with cheese on it.
Oh, yeah,
a little cinnamon sauce. Yep.
Oh yeah, gosh, doggone it.
We had fun in the 7 o'clock hour. We were talking about the early music scene of rockabilly and twang in the Phoenix market back in the 50s and 60s, and it was a good fun.
Hey, Rosie,
hour.
We took another call, too. I don't know if you have time for this story or not.
Yeah, and while you're telling this story, I'll tell the listeners, if you want to talk to John Jay, we've got an open line now, 1-888-767-4348, toll-free.
Well, a guy by the name of Ken called in, and he said that I believe it was his great-grandma, or just his grandma, Billy Maxwell, she was the first female to record on vinyl for RCA. He thinks it was in the 20s.
Wow.
And right now she has a display next to Marty Robbins in the MIM Museum, the Music Instrument Museum. So very cool. So we had some really fun callers
call in. That was just a caller this morning that called in after the...
Yeah, he missed it. He called in right as we went to the news at the top of the hour, and he wanted to make sure and get in.
Billy Maxwell?
You got it.
Billy Maxwell, on display at MIM. First female recording artist for RCA on vinyl.
It was fun, too, because he said, you know, my grandpa used to tell me about it, and I wasn't impressed. And then, you know, you get older, and you realize what a big deal it was. So we sparked some pretty fun, nostalgic moments for people this morning.
Well, that was great. That was all good music to listen to while you're out in the garden. I bet you there were a few people playing a little air guitar on their Lawn rakes, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Almost any music's good gardening music, but anything that'll get you out there and put a little skip in your step and get some stuff starting done. Some people might have a little cleaning up to do, too. We had another pretty good storm the other night. Saw pictures on Facebook of some big trees laying down and limbs laying down. And
been a very spotty monsoon so far. There are some areas that have been very, very richly blessed from the sky, but Sky Harbor isn't one of them.
But except that it's gotten whacked with some heavy winds. I mean, there's been some severe storms around Sky Harbor. They just don't ever get any rain.
Wow. And even the big storm that hit, we had damage kind of on three sides of us within just blocks of the house. At our house, we hardly got any wind and just a little bit of drizzle.
Nice rain and no wind. Yeah. Same way, but. Yeah, that's the way the monsoon is, though. I mean, it can be in your neighborhood tomorrow and, you know, across town you're like, what are they talking about?
Trees down actually closed the zoo.
The zoo is closed.
Shea Boulevard still closed today.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like 20 power lines down from 51 over to 42nd or 44th Street.
They're all just laying
down in the street. They got it all blocked off, and lots of red lights blinking over there, red and blue lights, and trees and cranes, and they're standing them all back up.
Good to lose power. Hopefully they got power back to those folks somehow, but that's not a fun thing when it's 102 and humid to not have any AC.
Yeah, and you look outside and, 20 of the power lines feeding your house are laying on the street.
Yeah.
That's when you call mom.
That's about the same neighborhood that back in about 70 got hit real hard with a quote-unquote tornado or whatever it was. So
it was that particular storm where several roofs were really just lifted off the homes.
Right.
And it looked like a tornado alley.
Yeah.
And it was shortly after that, City of Scottsdale then changed the building code where we had to start putting those H25 hurricane clips on every single rafter, every single 2x4. And it changed the building code, that one storm.
That one storm. Yeah, it did quite a bit of damage right through there. It's almost the same neighborhood. Well, a little funnel through there or something.
Well, with the ground as damp as it is right now, it would be a great time to get out there and eradicate some of the volunteer weeds or plants.
Great pulling, yep.
Excellent opportunity to get that done. And when you're doing that, to really knock it out, you're going to use the little two-prong de-rooter as opposed to a hula hoe, right? A hula hoe is just going to take them off at the ground.
Well, it can, although, if you kind of work the hula hoe down in a little deeper, you can get...
That's
get
hula hoe 201.
Yes, that's advanced. I kind of tip it so you got the corner of the hula hoe. Instead of a flat surface, you get the V of the corner so that you can kind of dig down and get those roots with the hula hoe as well. So it can be done, and I'd much rather have a long-handled weeding instrument than be down on my hands and knees with a little deal. Of course, this time, if it's wet enough, just simply reaching down and pulling them a lot of times will get the roots and all. If you're just kind of use a constant pressure, there's an art to this, right? So you got to use a constant pressure pulling on those weeds to kind of keep that root coming up and get the root. If you have spurge, which is the flat growing little tiny leafed, almost everybody's got it. I saw spurge in San Diego this summer in the cracks of the sidewalk on the boardwalk. It's everywhere. But it has tons of seed on it. So we recommend when you're pulling it that you have a garbage bag or something that you go right into it. Don't carry it around and let that seed fall all over the place.
The seed trail.
The seed trail. And you're just making it worse at that point.
Oh, mercy. So a little monsoon. We've actually got a call from Roland in Queen Creek. Wants to talk about, sounds like a little monsoon damage. Good morning, Roland.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Really well. How about you?
Well, I'm good. I got a peepu tree. It's a year old in my yard. The trunk is about 4 inches in diameter, and it's got a really nice, probably big canopy on it, probably 10 foot tall, 10 foot wide around. During that storm, this tree, it blew so hard, it pulled the stakes out of the ground, and bent that tree in just in a 90, almost a 90, laid that canopy on the ground. The bark didn't break, didn't tear the bark or anything. It didn't break. I pulled it back up, restaked it with bigger and longer stakes, but now it's got a dog leg in it. Is this tree going to make it?
Oh, I think so. If it didn't break and it's just got a little bit of a crook in it, that isn't going to hurt anything. You might consider a tree that big actually going to a guy wiring system rather than trying to stake it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But
talk him through that.
So you would put probably three heavy metal stakes in the ground, much like a tent stake, but bigger and longer. A lot of times we use rebar, maybe a 2 or 3 foot long piece of rebar material, drive it into the ground kind of at an angle away from the trunk of the tree. Then you would run a piece of coated wire up to the tree, and you have to kind of play with the height of the trunk of the tree so that it's supported right. So you have that going in three different directions. And, of course, where the wire runs around the tree, we'd run it through a hose or use a piece of webbing material so you don't cut into the tree. So
yeah.
Then you adjust your tension on each one of those till you get the tree standing in an upright, you know, or as straight as you possibly can. But when we start talking 4-inch diameter trunk and a 10 or 12-foot tree with a canopy on it, a lot of times I don't care what kind of stakes you start using, it's just going to be hard to stake it properly, and you might want to think about going to this guy wire type system. There's kits out there also. Ewing and Horizon Irrigation sell some different anchoring devices that actually you can drive into the ground, so you don't have this stake sticking up out of the ground. But a number of different ways to do it.
Even in that 3-point anchoring system, you're not running it up tight to the tree and holding it up there. You're letting it have some play.
It will have some play. It will move around gently. The breeze will be able to move it. We want that trunk to be able to sway and move to some degree so it gets stronger, quicker, and then eventually we can take that system off.
And more with your calls at 1-888-767-4348. Any question you have about lawn or garden, John Jay's here for you right now.